Aloha, gang, and welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's your red-eye flight of free speech, because you get tired, and then you get more tired. But it's important. We got to get to where we're going. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the fundage to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it in to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. This is part 2 of the Patrick and Jeremy Show. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Patrick. It's great to continue on the conversation from last night. Spread some truth.
We're doing the best we can do. All righty. So we'll probably pick up on some of the stuff that we were talking about last night, but let's just start it off with it's Victory Day in Russia. Is that what May 11th is? Is it Victory Day?
Yeah, that would be yesterday, wasn't it?
May 10th? May 9th? I don't know. Okay. But it's this week.
Yes.
So what would that mean?
So they're celebrating Victory Day concerning World War II, right? Mm-hmm. National Socialists. RT put out a good article on this. Globalist elites provoking bloody conflict and coups, according to Putin. He's referring to the U.S. as globalist elites. That's interesting. He says the Western elites have forgotten the consequences of the Nazis' insane ambitions. This he said during his Victory Day parade speech on Red Square in Moscow. Russia believes that any ideology of superiority is by its nature disgusting, criminal, and deadly, President pointed out. The globalist elites keep insisting on their exceptionalism. They pit people against each other, split societies, provoke bloody conflicts and coups, show hatred, Russophobia, and aggressive nationalism. They destroy the traditional family values that make human a human, according to Putin. So I get where he's coming from. He's
May I say one thing?
Yeah.
He kind of sounds a lot like a lot of the ads on RBN.
Yeah. He's tapping into that. You correct me if I'm wrong. This speech seems to be tailored more towards Americans in the West, as reaching out to them, is what I got from it.
Reaching out to American people,
yes.
A warning against American leaders, because obviously the American people and the American leaders have very different interests.
He uses the word exceptionalism, as we've heard Rush Limbaugh, the late Rush Limbaugh in the past, talk about American exceptionalism, this idea that America must spread mud democracy to the four points of the globe and push all sorts of neoliberal agendas, trannyism, homo marriage, and the like. And Russia has pushed back against this. And sure, he's invoking the Nazis, but I mean, that's what they're going to do, right? From their victory speech of World War II, he's going to do the gig. He's going to do the bit.
So World War II was, I mean, you can call it the Nazis against the communists. You can call it Russia against Germany or the Soviet Union against Germany. But, you know, World War II kind of transformed the Soviet Union from an primarily ideological state back to a more conventional national state. It was Mother Russia. And, we can have whatever opinions we want about the politics of Adolf Hitler and the people around him in his government, and the politics of Joseph Stalin and the people around him in his government. But for the Russian people, for any people, it's a hard sell that in a war where, like, you lost, 15% of your population or something, that you were the bad guys. That's just kind of a hard sell. And you know, besides, up until the very end of the war, it was the Germans who were fighting in Soviet territory and not vice versa. I mean, that's the way they're going to look at it. But of course, they are using this Nazi moniker, because there are some people in Ukraine who want to identify with it, and so they're kind of setting themselves up. And it's unfortunate in a lot of ways, because obviously Zelensky and the bulk of his government, it's not that they're Nazis. To the extent there are Nazis in Ukraine, these are these are people in certain militias or whatever. They're not running the country. They are being used as fodder.
They're terrorists in the Donbass, basically. You know, in the same way that America and Israel would sponsor ISIS, the West has sponsored these neo-Nazi Azov battalion types.
It's weird. Yeah.
Well, with all the history that you gave as a background, it's interesting that Putin is tailoring his speech to target the West and their exceptionalism. He mentioned the destruction of family values. That's interesting too. He's sort of setting it up that, you know, Russia is for family values and the West is for the destruction of family values. And so I guess what Putin is saying, in the context, with your historical context as a backdrop, Putin is saying that in the same way that Russia perceived Germany, you know, as spreading their ideology through warfare, national exceptionalism, and all that, he's saying that the U.S. is doing that now with their global homo ideology.
You know, one thing, we live in a world right now, we live in a world where you can talk to people on the other, like, we're talking to each other, we're in different states, and we're not doing this live, but we could be doing it live. Most of the RBN shows are live, and you've got people around the world listening in, and they can call up, and we've got global telecommunications, and it's cheap. Okay, we've got dirty deeds, and they're done dirt cheap. But that hasn't always been the case, and we weren't born in a world like that. And I remember going off to other continents, and it meant that I had to write letters. And, you know, you'd write a letter, and hopefully you'd get a reply within a couple of weeks, and that was telecommunications. And even, you know, younger on, a long-distance phone call, no, you can't call that, like, two counties over. That's going to be long distance, and actually long distance inside the state wasn't regulated by the Federal Communications Commission or whatever, and it could be really expensive. So that's what we were born in. But of course, World War II was even earlier, and the 20s and the 30s, in the 20s and the 30s, you did have radio and telegraph and things like this, but even like radio was new. This was new. This was something that was only, commercial radio only got going around 1920. So it was brand new. And obviously what the situation in the 1800s isn't relevant to this discussion, but if you were to go back to that, I mean, you don't have to go back very far, just a few generations, and you're in a situation where I mentioned this yesterday or maybe tomorrow on my show, weather reports. You couldn't have any weather reports because nobody knew in real time what the weather was like just 100 miles downwind or upwind. You didn't even know. So until the telegraph, you wouldn't have any idea. The weather traveled faster than any human was going to travel or any communications was going to travel. Why am I talking about this? Well, the point is that I don't think, like, on the one hand, Hitler or people who lived in Central and Eastern Europe knew what had been going on in Russia, not necessarily in real time, but it sooner or later. I mean, so Hitler knew that Jews had taken over Russia. He knew that the Holodomor, I assume he knew that the Holodomor was caused by Jews, right? On the other hand, what would he have known about the inner workings in the Kremlin? The 'cause Stalin, he purged the and these were show trials, so he would have known something. But Stalin purged the leadership, the Politburo. But I mean, I remember even in the 1980s when I was studying, started studying the Soviet Union, there was an Iron Curtain. It was really difficult to get any kind of accurate information about what was going on over there, and it would have been that much harder before. My point is that I don't think Hitler and Stalin could read each other's mind that well. I don't think they really knew what each other's intentions were very well. I think it was a lot harder to do this type of thing 80 or 90 years ago than it is today. That's my point. And, you know, honestly, I think by the time 1940 rolled around and the Soviet Union and Germany found themselves at war, I think to an extent they were fighting over issues that they really didn't need to fight over anymore. The Soviet Union, the Jewish power in the Soviet Union had already waned considerably in the 1940s and was on a downward trajectory. I don't know if Hitler and his government understood that. Trotsky was very aggressive. Social, you know, he wanted world. So you had to have world. World revolution. You couldn't have revolution in one country. But Stalin said no, socialism in one country. I don't actually think he was as aggressive. Now there's a lot of people who are a lot more interested in World War II who would probably disagree with some of my assumptions. But that's my point, is that it was really hard for these people to read each other. Why are we talking about World War II?
Well, because Putin was invoking it in his speech.
Oh, yeah.
By taking shots at the West, much deserved shots. And to your point, Hitler and Stalin could only rely on the ground intelligence that they had. You know, they didn't have the internet or the sophisticated means of spying that we have today. It was basically just people, you know, spies, real people that spied on each country and reported to the respective leaders. So I get that, but there was, you know, the Russian invasion of Poland. What, like 2 weeks after Hitler invaded Poland to get Danzig back? So you had that. I think that, you know, we can look at it in retrospect, and you and I and most of the listening audience can see that Hitler saw a point where Bolshevism and communism was going to take over all of Europe, and he, you know, set out to stop that. Then the U.S. got involved, and that sort of threw a wrench in the works. But and these things, I think Putin is very aware of. I think Putin is very aware, probably even more so than you or I, about these historical incidences. He understood what was going on. He's just an opportunist. He's the ultimate opportunist. He's using this as a way to take shots at the West, to build up his Russian populace's support for himself and for this military operation in Ukraine, the goal of it is to stop NATO from putting nukes on the border to target Moscow. He's just trying to build up the support of the Russian populace, and he's sending a message to the American populace that, hey, you know, your government is doing all the things that you think the Nazis were doing or two. That's my whole take on it.
Yeah, and you know, Russia itself is very divided on the legacy of Stalin. Stalin, well, obviously they won World War II under Stalin, although at massive cost. They rebuilt the country, became a superpower under Stalin. And Stalin did drive out Jewish power. How well people understand that today, I really don't know. And Stalin was denounced. He was denounced by Khrushchev. Under Stalin, there were these purges. Khrushchev was primarily denouncing him for the purges within the Communist Party. A lot of people in the Communist Party just disappeared. But of course, regular people were just disappearing too. And then after Stalin, the Soviet Union, in politically at least, in terms of the amount of liberty people had, I think it became more or less run-of-the-mill, kind of heavy-handed, but more or less run-of-the-mill mid-20th century dictatorship, mid to late 20th century dictatorship. We had them all over the world. Even non-communist countries like Korea or Argentina, they had people disappearing too. They had all sorts of stuff going on. That was par for the course. A lot of political repression in most countries. And those might have been, the good old days for a lot of Russians, because they had things to eat and places to live and work, and they were reproducing. The worst times, obviously, was like some of the years under the Bolsheviks, and then in the 20th century, early 20th century, and then the late 20th century, the Russian the Jewish oligarchy. So a lot of people look back at Stalin or the Soviet Union as the good old days, and then others don't. It's actually very divided. Why are we talking about that? I don't know. But in a country that's so divided, if you've got a leader like Putin who continually gets 7% support ratings, he's doing something right.
Well, I guess rather than completely redefining terms and going through all of that, Putin's speech was basically just meant to take a shot at the West. And for those of people on our side that would say, well, look, Putin's criticizing the Nazis, therefore he's Jewish controlled. That's a total ice cold takeaway, because Putin is running up against headlong against Jewish power in the face of it, because Ukraine's not run by Nazis. They're run by Jews. Zelensky and his cabinet, they're supported by the West. Victoria Nuland and Blinken and the Jewish-dominated people in Biden's cabinet. So Putin is running headlong against Jewish power, and he's just using the lexicon of the times in his speech to garner support, mostly from his Russian populace, but also to appeal to the West. And he's using these terms. That's all it is to it. He's taken the weapons. Mm. It's kind of like when you're in martial arts and you have forms, right? You've got to take it from the forms what you can take, use them in a combat situation. They're not going to be pretty like they are in a dojo. They're going to be effective, though. And I think that's what he's doing. He's using the lexicon that is out there. And that's what he did in the speech.
It's interesting, and I agree with you. It's interesting that he had his back up against the wall. Right now, I don't think so. I mean, right now, I think Russia is obviously winning this war, despite what you hear in the mainstream about he's dying from cancer and all this. They've been saying ever since day one, they've been saying, well, he's dying from cancer. I see this every day when I open up Yahoo or Microsoft or whatever. I always see this. And it's totally fake. And also the effort to take him down through diplomatic and economic isolation, that has clearly failed. And the world is
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
And you know, it's totally fake, and also the effort to take him down through diplomatic and economic isolation that has clearly failed, and the world is restructuring itself around primarily like around these institutions that China and Russia set up together. So things are going his way, but he did have his back up against the wall a year ago or so, a little more than a year. I think by April, things were going pretty well for him, April last year. But, you know, obviously, I don't think it's an overstatement to say that the West, the Jews who run the West, wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill him. And, you know, people like, I was going to say John McCain, but he's dead. Lindsey Graham, who says what the Jews are thinking. He says it out loud, and you know he's saying, for you know God's sake, why won't somebody take him out? Right? They wanted him dead, so he was facing this massive effort on his life. Really, I mean, it's this massive effort on his life, and yet he won't call out the Jews, right? And of course, he is a very calculating person. So he calculates that in order for him to get where he wants to go, that's not something he wants to do. and that's his calculation. It's working. I would like to hear somebody calling out the Jews. I think, you know, somebody has to do it. But it's interesting that you've got somebody as powerful as Putin, somebody who had as much skin in the game as Putin, and yet he won't do it. And instead, he's talking about Nazis.
He did say globalists, and then according to the ADL, yeah. Globalist is a what's the word?
Anti-Semitic trope. Is it a trope? Is that a dog whistle?
Yeah, isn't a trope when you use one name to refer to another group?
Yeah, indirectly. I guess so.
Yeah, so he's using the globalist trope.
People don't get it. People don't get it. I mean, so many people think that they're actually globalists and it has nothing to do with Jews. This
of course,
is all some sort of philosophical issue. It's not ethnic supremacism. It's all about philosophy.
Also, in the speech, he reaches out to the Ukrainian people, talking about how they've become a bargaining chip of the West. So, according to Putin, the Ukrainians became hostages of the coup that took place in the country in 2014. And they were turned into a bargaining chip by the West, which uses the country, Ukraine, to implement its cruel and selfish plans. So, you know, he's reaching out to the populace of America, Ukraine, and Russia. And I guess
the world.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
And then the whole world, really.
Yeah. Well, and other countries see this. I mean, look at what's happening in the wake of the sanctions. I mean, who would have ever thought that Bashar in Syria is, you know, part of the Arab League again, and that Syria and Saudi Arabia and Iran are all talking? I mean, that's phenomenal. That gets us to another article I want you to comment on, basically, too, where Kissinger was talking about China being a ultimate arbiter in peace with the Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny, Kissinger, he's on the cusp of...
His birthday. I think he's turning 100 this month. When's his birthday?
Yeah. Yeah, I mentioned this a little bit on Monday night's show. Of course, Kissinger wants what's best for the Jews. I mean, he's not on our side by any means, but being an old guard type of Jewish power, of the Stein-Lydian camp, I would say, Kissinger understands that this whole approach that the West is taking is completely suicidal and crazy and not good for Jews in general. That's what Kissinger sees. And he welcomes China as an arbiter of peace, not only with Ukraine, but in all these Muslim countries that were once opposed to each other because the U.S. said they should be. Is that what it is? Because all of a sudden now you've got Syria and Saudi Arabia and Iran talking together, and this is not good for the West. This is part of that whole realignment on the globe that you're talking about, a new paradigm, if you will, of unipolarism.
Yeah.
So
a year ago, Kissinger knows Putin, and they have lunch once every year or two. You know, Kissinger would go over to Russia, and Putin would see him.
Therefore, Putin's controlled by Jews, right?
Yeah, therefore he's controlled by Jews. Yeah.
Okay, go on.
I would talk to Kissinger. I talked to Zbigniew Brzezinski. I wish I would talk to Kissinger. Kissinger, he was in charge of American foreign policy for 8 years, but he's had.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822, that's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Yeah, that's always controlled by Jews. Yeah. I would talk to Kissinger. I talked to Zbigniew Brzezinski. I wish I would talk to Kissinger. Kissinger, he was in charge of American foreign policy for 8 years, but he's had massive impact, mostly negative. But he is on the intellectual A team. He is on the A team. He's on the A-list. So is Noam Chomsky. So is Jeffrey Sachs. And I have overall negative. Well, I mean, Sachs and Chomsky, like, you can do a lot worse than them. But they are, I mean, they're smart. This is the Jewish A-team in terms of intellect. And the people who are running the show now, they are not. They're definitely not. Blinken's not that smart. Victoria Nuland, she doesn't know what the hell she's doing. And if you're Chomsky, or if you're Kissinger, or if you are Jeffrey Sachs, let's just say you're one of them, and you want what's best for the Jews, and the United States is firmly under the grip of Jewish power, and China's not. And Russia's not, and you see the United States government under these other Jews who are squandering American power resources and getting the world to reorient around a Moscow-Beijing axis, you're going to say, that's stupid, that's retarded, and it's not good for the Jews. That's what Henry Kissinger and Chomsky and Jeffrey Sachs, I'm sure that's what they think. I don't even think that they really care that much about it. I do think they're deep down inside want what's best for the Jews and don't think this is best for the Jews. I don't think they believe that. If there is some sort of little Jewish cabal somewhere that's running everything and has decided they're going to shift all of their power resources to Beijing and to Russia, I don't think Kissinger and Sachs and Chomsky are part of that little cabal.
No, it's exactly what Steinlein observed with immigration. Like, his basic observation in blue collar, crack a beer after work, because I worked 12 hours today, in those terms, he said, well, this is nuts. Why would you flood the U.S. with all of these third worlders? You're going to destroy a good thing that we have here. Yeah, these are the A-list Jews. Interesting that China is able to do peace deals in just a couple of months and undo all of the decades of what the U.S. has done to divide these Muslim countries and to keep them fighting amongst each other. Very interesting, that Kissinger pointed this out. So, and back to Putin's speech, I mean, this is what Putin's doing. He's being very smart. Sure, we'd love for him to call out the Jews, but what he's doing now is very effective. And you hear this on normies' lips. So many normies, particularly Trump supporters, are like, why are we at war with Russia? You know, they're Christian, they oppose trannyism and all the like. Our own government are our enemies. That's the talking points on the lips of normies today. You know, January 6th tier supporters.
You know, in a lot of ways, Putin would be the dream candidate for your normie Republican. He's for family values. He is fiscally conservative. The United States public debt as a proportion of GDP is like, supposedly it's 1.5 times GDP. It may well be a lot higher. And you go through all the EU countries or Japan and you find, really big, well over the public debt is way more than the GDP. Russia, it's only 12% of GDP. They've got a very small debt, very small public debt. And it was in horrible shape when Putin took over. He has been a very, very capable and very conservative economic manager. You know, and everything that Republicans supposedly want, he's not even particularly mean to Israel or anything. Everything that they think they want, is Putin, and yet it's so easy to get these normie conservatives to think that Putin's a monster and to fly Ukraine flags, even though it's probably more than the liberals who are flying the Ukraine flags, but still,
I was going to say these normies aren't so much aggressive to Russia as they are to China, thanks mm-hmm. to Tucker Carlson, and mm-hmm. they don't understand that China is arbitrating peace. They don't get that. If China were intent on destroying the U.S., why would they arbitrate peace with all of these different groups, in the Middle East? That doesn't make sense. But why would China want to destroy the West, who has been their greatest benefactor, and China's rose to economic power? Because of selling stuff to the West. You don't want to destroy that. You want to keep that going. So that, I think normie cons are more pro-Russia than anti-China. No? That seems to
well,
be taken.
More anti-China, less anti-Russia. Normie cons, I think Tucker, he would always talk about Russia. He'd say, well, okay, they say Putin's evil. Okay, I guess. but we have problems here. And so the Normicons are, it's not as if, I mean, I don't hear anybody, hardly anybody in the mainstream speak in support of Putin, right? Hardly anybody. You could say that McGregor, Douglas McGregor, is that his name? And a few of these people do. But most people will say, well, he shouldn't have invaded, but he was provoked or this and that. They'll always say he shouldn't have invaded. There's hardly anybody who will speak in favor of him. But what the Normicons are very open-minded to is the idea that we're not the world's policemen. It's not our problem. We've got big problems of our own. So whatever. And that message seems to work with Normicons.
Let me define my terms. The rank and file Trump supporters, those that supported Trump from day one back in 2015, I mean, these people are pro-Russia. They're saying stuff like, Putin is Christian. It's a Christian country. They have stand for family values. Why are we in conflict with them?
You have your ear in places I don't, right? And you've got your hundreds of or Facebook people that you monitor or whatever. Is that where you're getting this from?
Yeah, basically. I mean, it's people that I know, and I can monitor hundreds of them, of their friends as well, in comments, and they are saying stuff like, "Well, Russia's pro-family. They don't stand for the things that the U.S. does." But these same people are very anti-China. Because they have to have a boogeyman, and so China and George Soros and Klaus Schwab and all that—that's their acceptable boogeyman. But they're very pro-Russian. These Trump supporters that I interact with. And their whole thing is, why are we in the Ukraine? Why do we care about the Ukraine? That's also, a talking point. What about our own borders? What about sending this money to our own people?
Well, these same people, to what extent would they be on board with going to a Ukraine-style conflict over Taiwan?
That's the thing. That's the thing. Because even though they may be more pro-Russia, they have been conditioned to think of China as a threat and the boogeyman. So pro-Russia, anti-China. So, I mean, Tucker's done his job well.
Done his job well. The thing is, whether you like China or not, at this point, there's no stopping China from being the most important country in the world. China is going to eclipse the United States in a lot of ways. It might have been possible for us if we had remained a serious country through just being the technology leader, even if we didn't have the biggest industrial base or the biggest population or the biggest economy. We could have been the leading technology country. But, if you look at universities, because this is where you train your technology people. And, in the 80s, before all the so-called woke stuff, in the 80s, everybody was going into, they were getting MBAs. And if you went to a hard science or engineering program at a good university, it would be full of Indians and Chinese. I shouldn't say the 80s, but by the 90s, and the smart white people were going to MBA programs because they wanted to make money in working for corporations. So we kind of lost that, but now it's way worse because it's all of this crazy so-called woke stuff, and and the universities they're full of non-whites anyway. And even a lot of the non-whites, especially non-white women, are getting into that and are leading some of this crazy woke stuff. But no, our universities have become a joke, and China is going to eclipse us. They're they've got a serious government of serious people. We don't have a serious government of serious people. I mean, just look at who runs our country. We don't have a serious government. And our population is very sick. We're very obese. We've got a lot of disease. We've got a lot of drug problems. We've got a lot of mental issues. We do. We are a very, very sick country. There's no way that 300 and whatever million of our people who are increasingly just random third worlders and were diseased and mentally ill and have drug problems and were obese, there's no way that we can expect that we are going to somehow retain any kind of world leadership in a world that's got China in it. And I mean, we should be happy that the Chinese aren't particularly aggressive and that don't have a history of being particularly aggressive, right? They spit and they'll shoot mucus through their nostrils and they talk loud on trains. And there's a lot of things that they can do that are annoying. But they don't really have much of a history of invading other countries. They've got much more of a history of being invaded. But what happens is they get invaded, they get taken over, and then the people, the foreigners who rule them become Sinified. They become Chinese themselves because the Chinese population is just so big and the culture is – it's just got so much inertia that it absorbs them. I'll stop filibustering.
I mean, it's a fair point. The declension of the American empire has really accelerated in the last 20 years with, the social degradation into homo marriage and trannyism and third world migration. And that's just increasing exponentially daily, especially now with Title 42 being removed. This is unsustainable. You want to talk about unsustainable? This is unsustainable. And, the U.S. is going to be, at least in the big cities and liberal states, the U.S. is going to be comparable to a third world country and is right now. And there's no way they're going to compete with China. This is going to become obvious. And eventually the elite's whole anti-China stance is just going to fall apart. That whole narrative is going to fall apart. And Americans are going to realize that, hey, China just wants to sell us stuff and make money off of us. And they're not interested in invading or overpowering or anything like that. They're already a power. That's eventually going to become obvious. But, too little too late, at that point, America's pretty much going to be gone. Probably I'll give it a decade.
Yeah. Now, the thing is, you can have a good life in a country that's not number one. I've traveled around. I've seen European and Asian countries and people having in the, say, 1980s, 1990s, having perfectly good lives in countries that weren't the world's only superpower or weren't even a superpower at all. And you can have perfectly good life. People in Singapore, people in Austria, they have perfectly good lives. And we shouldn't be fixated on somehow making sure that the United States of America, which has been tormenting and frankly genociding the white population, we shouldn't be fixated on maintaining that same government, that very same government and those institutions as the most powerful in the world vis-a-vis, Russia and China and any other potential competitor. That shouldn't be a goal for us. I could see if the interests of the American people and the interests of the American government were aligned, that then there might be something to be said for it. But it's clear they're clearly so much not aligned. And so really, if anything, we should welcome not being number one anymore. I think we should welcome it.
Well, it's leading to the collapse of the federal government, which is it's a necessity and it's an inevitability. And in the wake of that, I think you're going to get balkanization of ethnic groups in America. It's going to be a little rough at first, But eventually, out of that, out of those ashes, will rise a phoenix of, you know, white communities that are willing to do business with Russia and China and sort of rebuild. That's sort of the way I see this going. That's my white pill. Was it a white pill? It's surrounded by a lot of black pills, but I think it is a white
pill. Yeah, I heard this guy. Yeah.
Collapse.
I heard this guy on the radio say something like, you know, you can terminate the American Republic, but you can't terminate the American people because we're still here. He said something like that. I'm not exactly sure what it was.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Gilad Atzmon says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up, with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQ, RS.
This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What? Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, I don't know.
How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act. It's the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, yeah, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Einstein once said, future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies. What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available, and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
I heard this guy. Yeah.
Collapse.
I heard this guy on the radio say something like, you know, you can terminate the American Republic, but you can't terminate the American people because we're still here. He said something like that. I'm not exactly sure what it was, but it sounded pretty smart.
I remember
to me.
That guy. Yeah, he was a pretty cool guy. No, that's true. You know, we talk about white genocide and the destruction of America, but I mean, all these things are leading up to, I think, our people regathering in rebuilding some sort of a republic, a republic that will be able to trade and do business with countries like China and Russia. That's what I think. And maybe we go straight meritocracy. And there's going to be a lot of natural segregation that happens in a meritocracy. Is that a word?
Meritocracy.
In a meritocracy, there's going to be a lot of natural segregation that happens. You know, and the whites will rise above and, you know, tend to dominate and rule. That's the best we can hope for.
You know, here's one last thing. I don't really surf. Tulsi tried to take. No, I won't make a joke about Tulsi. But I've tried to surf. I do ride waves on inflatable rafts. I don't stand up on them, so I know kind of. I know how waves are, and I've skateboarded. I've never really skied. I skied once, but the thing is, like, they seem similar. But here's like the big difference between surfing and skateboarding. So you skateboard, and maybe you could skateboard on the street, but or you're skateboarding in one of these skateboard parks. But the thing is, you can inspect the lay of the land and you can make a plan, right? Because you can see everything, and it's in concrete, it's in stone, it's like literally in stone. So you can see everything and you can make plans. But I think we have to be surfers, and the surfer doesn't know when the wave is going to come. And even when the wave comes, you can't always recognize it. It's a swell. How is it going to break? You don't know. And so you have to be prepared for opportunities when they arise. And you can't just, like, get some sort of rigid plan. And this is one of the things that, like, in 2015, 2014, 2016 was actually kind of annoying. I didn't know how to really respond to it. But you'd hear people who would be saying, okay, we're going to have the ethno state and we're going to do this, and these people got to leave, and this, and we're, you know, making plans. They have no power, and yet they're making plans. And I think really we have to be flexible. We have to be prepared. We have to keep ourselves in good shape, and just trust that opportunities are going to arise. We don't know what those opportunities are going to be. We might not even know until we're right in the middle of it. But that's the way I look at it. And to an extent, you know, when things are happening in the future, especially if you're my age, you have to rely on younger people too.
Well, yeah, we've got the wave of white replacement hitting America. And our people always tend to ride that wave and come out on top. And I think they will this time. It'll be a little rough. But again, we rise to the top. We're not going to have to create an ethno state. We're not going to have to astroturf that or do it with violence or anything retarded like that. It's just going to happen. I think it's just going to naturally happen. As the country becomes more non-white, they're not going to be able to run the country. It's just going to collapse, and the people that are capable are going to rise to the top. That's sort of my prediction.
All right. Well, we'll see how that works. At any rate, we are out of time today, but I want to thank you for joining me, Jeremy.
Thank you, Patrick. Stay classy as usual.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Digital Radio.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.